On this episode of The Playbook, I have Janice Bryant Howroyd, founder and CEO of the Act One Group, one of the greatest women entrepreneurs in history. And we're going to learn about having the strength to be vulnerable. Join me for all this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
I have Janice Bryant Howroyd, and she's the founder and CEO of Act One Group, and she is an amazing woman owner here and leader. There's no, I think, better time to have you on, Janice. This is a second chance interview, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, because Janice and I met at the beginning of COVID and I had to do my own first production and I forgot to hit record. And so number one, I want to thank you and apologize, but that's just the type of person you are. I was telling your executive, everyone has to hear this. I was telling her executive assistant that I have done interviews, as you know, with Deepak Chopra, Dan Aykroyd, Cameron Diaz, these great big names. And people ask me, what are some of your favorite interviews? And I tell them the one that got away, the one I forgot to get record. So no pressure, but you have been one of my best interviews and thank you for coming back.
Well, there are no accidents in life, right?
Yeah, that's what I love you. We share these philosophies. Give me a little bit of background, not only on the Act One Group, but moreover, how you evolved. I love the story of how you evolved into being this extraordinary CEO.
Well, thank you for the extraordinary. You know, we are in extraordinary times. So I think that word has a heightened expectation around it for people, and that can be positive or negative. However, my professional career has been a lot of that as well. Extraordinary in the most heightened way and extraordinary in some of the more negative ways. And I think that's what you're leaning in on right now, David, is, you know, how do you build a workforce solutions group as an African-American woman of a certain age at a certain time? And the truth is, you do it very carefully, very thoughtfully, with a lot of good people in front of you. You've heard people talk about, oh, we stand on the shoulders of so many who've come before us. Well, that's especially true in my life. It's also being sure that you're pulling people along the way. And I think for me, my best success has come because people partnered to my journey have been extraordinary. And I say that not with this sense of humility or humbleness that you would expect one to give at the front of the church on Sunday. I say that because it's really, truly my experience. You think about it. I was born in North Carolina, said it publicly before. Sometimes my kids like push their hands over their face, this nappy-headed little colored girl in Tarboro, North Carolina. And you know, I visited over 60 countries. Some of them I spent more than one day in, and been able to meet incredible people. It ain't Cinderella. It may be Cinderella, but it ain't Cinderella's story. It truly is something I have not said easily and only said for the first time just over 4.5 years ago. I also built it because I finally learned, it started to make sense to me, David, when I finally learned to forgive myself for being black, female, and smart at the same time. You and I talked about that.
Yeah, and I think forgiving ourselves in all contexts, but even moreover, you know, as much—
especially with what's going on right now, everybody is so vulnerable with COVID that we're opening ourselves up to questions and maybe we're not getting all the answers we're looking for. Perchance the answers are iterative, but there's a lot of guilt being felt. You know, since I taught with you, I've had 7 of our enterprise size companies reach out to me to have conversations, to hold conversations and sessions with their top decision makers in their companies. We're talking about people whose brand names you know handily and who are doing business across the world. We do business in 32 countries. These companies are doing business, you know, everywhere. And I kind of pinched myself at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was leading one of these discussions, because we're talking to people in different time zones, David, and said, here are people asking me with the deepest sincerity and vulnerability they've ever had. Some of it, I will say, the vulnerability is heightened by COVID, the idea that we're all vulnerable to something. And they want my thoughts. They want my explanations. They want my ideas around Black Lives Matter. Not diversity and inclusion, Black Lives Matter. That is a moment in our world that I pray becomes a movement in our world, that it doesn't stay a moment. You know, there's so much to grab our attention. There's so much to aspire to. And there's only so much we can swallow for so long. So I'm praying and I'm working. You know, I come from a place that says prayer without works is dead. I'm praying and I'm working that this moment is a movement, and it's a movement in a higher direction for all of us.
Yeah, I love that.
And I don't even know if I answered your question.
You did.
But
you
I answered mine.
In that journey. No, that's good, because within that journey and context, one of the greatest lessons that I've learned as a middle-aged white male, you know, whose business partner is Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, who a person who has dedicated his life to help with inclusion and inequality in whatever I can do. But I only have my perspective of where I grew up with and what I grew up with. And it was interesting because I had difficulty reconciling and had to reach out to mentors like you to understand the differences between, you know, all lives matter and Black Lives Matter. And I came to a great lesson in my life that all lives do matter. And I think everyone agrees, 99-something% of the people agree all lives matter, but we need to prioritize Black lives because of what you are talking about. We need to make it a movement, not a moment.
What hasn't mattered? Now, understanding how something has mattered and how something has contributed are very different, because in one of my presentations for these companies I was mentioning to you, two of them, I used one slide and I showed them sales receipt. And we talk about having receipts. You know, I got receipts in my community, right? You got receipts, okay? You can speak. And I pulled a receipt for them. And it was a receipt for the labor of slaves building the White House, literally, you know. And so a lot of people had reactions, some visceral, to Black Lives Matter when Mayor Bowser painted that along the streets alongside the White House. But some people were kind of like, yeah, they did matter because it was slave labor that built it. And some white guy got paid for their work that built what is an iconic emblem of freedom, opportunity, equality, the best of us, all of us, you know. So, yeah, I think that it's something that takes longer than you and I are going to invest in this moment to talk about. I think it's also something that's so strong that you and I would be insincere in this moment if we didn't talk about it. So I thank you.
Oh, I thank you. And I love just, you know, whatever topic we're talking about is so important for people to learn from you, because your perspective is so powerful. You know, it's a gift in which we can talk about issues that may be uncomfortable or conflictual with many, but be able to put it into a light where people understand and they're open to listening and learning. And I think that gift of yours, because, you know, you have obviously been discriminated against in your career from the very beginning and throughout your career. And even to this day, there is a certain amount of discrimination that exists for women and for African-Americans and for what old people and what everything else that we are.
You've been listening to Billie Holiday, right? You can help yourself. Don't exactly. You take too much.
That's so good.
Yeah.
But what I love is, you know, there's a whole bunch of suck in everybody's life, you know, and I hate to put it to that basis. And, you know, you're in that space of helping and empowering people with their true professions and their employment as a solutions company to get the best out of people for the best of our companies, which makes the best of our country. And yet.
And our world.
In our world, correct. And it's so closely knit today. But your perspective is so powerful that you're able to, in my opinion, really coalesce what's happening and not only forgive yourself, but really seek understanding and praying for the better or happiness of others throughout your whole career. You've been able to kind of find the superpower in it and say, look, this is where we're at today, but I can do this to make it better tomorrow, not only just for everyone, but for myself. And that advancement has evolved into an extraordinary company, extraordinary career. And now, you know, you truly are a leader and influencer that can help change the world with this movement because of what you've been through and what you represent and what you know. Where does that perspective or some of the key components of that perspective can you share with us to help other people look for the light, the love, and the lessons and everything instead of anger, separation, void, shortages, and obstacles?
Yeah, see, years ago, Mama told me that, and oddly enough, around race as well, when I was one of the first to integrate our schools back in Tarboro, North Carolina, and I was having a lot of emotions and fears that I wasn't understanding, and she was very careful, she was very firm, that I understood the difference between anger and passion, and that I owned the right to decide which would be for me. And she told me that those emotions engage some of the same chemistry, you know, the same biology for us, but how we gear it is attitudinal. And so she taught me that whenever you're tempted to get angry about something, find out what it is you want different, and take that anger and refuel it into passion toward that. And I've had to do that, I think, perchance more often than I should have had to do it over my career. Certainly that Mama taught me, helped me a lot with that. In my own company, when you reference the company, the thing about the Act One group is we sincerely, and I might say strategically, have some of the best people in the world in our company. I mean, the team I work with, since we've been working from home more than ever, and these are people who are on the road. I mean, we're road dogs oftentimes. We're like, we laugh about how many times we used to connect with each other across the globe, right? And we're connecting with each other from our kitchens and our bedrooms and our living rooms and on great days like I have in Southern California, outside in our gardens. And we're all closer in this distance than we ever were when we were busy with the lunches and the meetings and going places. And, you know, we see each other more clearly, you know, the gray hair and the wrinkles and everything else, right? And we remember when we got them together. We've got some of the best people in the world. The folk who report direct to me, over half of our meeting time is love and care and tears and prayers and things that aren't new for us, but that are so found and profound for us in a different way in this time where all of our meetings finish with how much we want to be together and hug each other again. You know, how much I want to smell David's fragrance because he's got the best fragrance in the world and he won't tell me who made it. You know, I mean, that's where we are right now. And we've been that group of people building a company together. So technology, you've heard from my company, because you know about us, technology was the freeing post for us. You know, technology was our universe. And it's a lot of people's universe today. And technology was also a freeing post for my company. And so people who work in my organization who wrap themselves around that, their work around that, have certainly helped me to be sitting here talking to you today, not just as the founder of a multi-billion dollar company. More importantly, I'm talking with you as a person who has a lot of good people in my life right now. And I think that's pretty darn important. There are a lot of people who don't have that right now. Some folks listening to you are on the journey to that right now.
Yeah, no matter what we have, that's the most valuable of all things. And even to that point, being a road warrior yourself, I've got a greater appreciation even for how and what lies I tell myself about the time that I've been spending with my family now that forced into a situation of not traveling, that what I've been missing out on. And
and words matter, because you had a clue to that. Forgive me, I gotta catch you on that, because everything matters, right? And you said the time I've been spending with my family. Once you come out of COVID, you're good. COVID, because I talk to people, especially young people who I work with, my crew, and I encourage them, you know, you got to be very thoughtful about what you say, because you're speaking to your subconscious. You don't spend time with your, well, some of them you spend time. You invest time with your family. You expect a return on that, and you expect a return for them. When you spend it, it's gone, okay?
I love that.
Invest it. When you invest it, it builds. And so you invest time with your family. And that's what you're feeling. That's what you're going through.
Oh, yeah. And I love that investment. And I wasn't investing enough is the lesson that I learned.
You were spending.
I was spending. And justifying.
You know, we're in this conversation for 10 minutes and I got to go do this over here. How am I going to create this soft exit? You know, that's spending, right?
Got it. Oh, I'm stealing that and using that. And everyone can tell why I love the words of wisdom is, you know, we get to the last question here. Obviously, with great change comes great opportunity. You're someone who knows how to take her capabilities, skills, knowledge, and desire and apply it to the situation at hand. We have moved from about 2% of our workforce that is, you know, based in an office into over 50% now remote. And I think it's going to stay in that trend, more and more remote workers. What were some of the greatest lessons and changes that you've made within the context of your multi-billion dollar business to move forward under the realization of this remote workforce and trend?
What a great question, because you ask about lessons and you ask about changes. And when lessons don't teach us toward change sometimes, you know, I think that that's when folks start to get in trouble. So one of the lessons I learned, oddly enough, is a good one. I've shared so many of the hard lessons I've learned. One of the best lessons I learned actually is a good one. We were so ready for this, you know, in terms of our functionality. Our organization has been a very mobile and very agile organization. That's our Agile One, right? Right? And so our solutions and technologies organization. So we were very, very there. And Apple One, our staffing brand, our premier staffing brand, had so many offices where people were in the branches and they were greeting applicants on a daily basis. To see them with our tech team over a weekend transition people to work from home was so brilliant to me. The teams of people in our company weren't just working like fierce to make sure they were set up for business Monday morning, but they were enjoying it. So I learned the skill, I learned the joy, and I learned the togetherness that our teams have in a different way than I'd seen before. Every year we do founders, right? And we go away, we take the top performing people in our organization, somewhere exotic, somewhere fun. We take them somewhere. Now they love it so much that many will bring their kids or, you know, their other family members with them. And there can be 500 of us. One year there were 700 of us, all just having a great time for 4 days, celebrating the successes we've had. To see these people turn now, and that's usually in February, Dave, to turn now and ask, how do we create better for our communities with that? And let us find joy a different way and still achieving, like we've got 2020 as one of our initiatives in our organization, and everybody's hitting 2020 on speed. I mean, these people are on just doing it, you know? And I think because we're an organization that always had to work harder. You know, you've heard some Black people tell you, I'm sure I'm not the only one, to say, I learned very early in life that, you know, sometimes I was going to have to do twice as much to get half as far. Well, we brought that spirit into our organization. And that's still true, as you alluded to earlier. very eloquently for us as a company. Many times companies have to have it really screw up with other companies and then come to us to fix it. I don't love that. I don't love that. Please come here first. Okay, but I do love that when we get in there, we fix it and we create these clients for life. And so I learned why that is so through this, because I've seen it. Mom and Dad used to tell us, my dad would tell us as kids, if we were arguing and going to bed, and I shared this with you before, if you go to bed angry, it's not your aptitude, it's your attitude that doesn't help you get to peace. And with my organization, the attitudes of the people in this company are as great as the skills are. And I think that's the story, that's the answer to where we've journeyed to where we are as a company. I think it's also the answer to what I learned. Yeah, our folks are really some of the best people. I've learned that through this. We went through stuff learning. We went through stuff about process and protocols and how do we set up different communication trees and how do we shift from, you know, on campus as we have to go out and make sure that we're investing in the right way with our clients. We learned all that stuff. But the best thing I learned, the biggest thing I learned, is that we got the right people and we got wonderful people in attitude and in skill. And I think that's what we're going to find can be the best lesson from this experience globally that we're in right now, where when we put the best people and the best attitudes together, we win through this. This ain't the first time the world has had pandemic. It's the first time we've all experienced it together.
Yeah, and question our own human existence worldwide for the very first time, all cognizant of it together. And it's amazing. I will tell you, anyone that's listening, go back, listen again. People ask me so many questions about what it's like to be a leader. How are you a good leader? What does it take to be a good leader? The wisdom that you shared, well, I will tell you, I wouldn't torture you by saying you'd make a great president because you don't want that job. But JBH, I'd be your campaign manager because this epitome of leadership, Janice, you are the epitome of leadership. I'm going to go back and learn some more lessons, the wisdom from all areas of your life that you've been able to utilize to propel not only your life, but elevating others to elevate themselves is so beautiful and wonderful. I hope more people listen to this and take the lessons that you've learned from Janice. She's an incredible leader. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.